Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello to all of you listeners. Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, now airing live on Business Radio X. I am so excited to be moving the show, which I have had for nearly 2 years, onto the Business Radio X platform. So I know we have some new listeners now. So before we dive into what's going to be an amazing interview with a very esteemed guest today, I do want to share a little bit about me and about the show so that you get to understand a little bit about what you can expect each week on the podcast. So my name is Stephanie Diaz, and I am the founder and CEO of Mastermind Your Launch, which helps CEOs, visionary leaders, to position themselves for accelerated success through branding and content marketing. And a little bit about my background is that after receiving my MBA, I had the good fortune to land within a startup. I thought I was going to go the corporate route, but ended up landing within a startup and helping that startup grow to over $100 million in annual revenue, even though the team was less than 15 on staff at any one point in time. That experience gave me a real love for entrepreneurship because I was working side by side with one of the most strategic minds that I've ever met. And I'm really excited that my current role in my business allows me to be around even more amazing innovators, change makers, strategic thinkers, and helping them by bringing to them my talent, which is marketing and branding. And as I, you know, went through that company, I really got a passion for entrepreneurship. I always knew that I wanted to launch my own business. And I'm sure that a lot of people listening to this can understand, you just like have that feeling inside, I think I'm meant for a little bit more. I think I want my name to be on that, you know, business. And I don't want the fruits of my labor to always be going to someone else. I had that itch. I didn't know exactly how I was going to make that happen, but I knew that I needed to reinvent myself in my career. And it was actually the podcast that did that. In April of 2015, I launched the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, and it completely changed everything in my life because it changed my community. It changed how I was able to show up in the world. And with that, so many doors began to open. And that's exactly what I help entrepreneurs with today. And so I'm really excited to now be kind of, you know, reinventing myself again, thanks to Business Radio X and the amazing community that's here. So getting into the interviews, because what this podcast is about the Atlanta technology community. This is about making sure that as many of us are connected into this powerful community. And I'm really excited because today I'm going to introduce you to one of the big change makers for 2017, let me tell you. Arul Morgan is the founder and CEO of the innovation-driven venture capital firm 1111 Investments. His vision for 1111 is to increase the value and approachability in Atlanta's venture capital investing community. Prior to 1111i, he founded the technology company Enrich, which ranked on the Inc. 500 list for 5 consecutive years. During his tenure with Enrich, he was also named a finalist for Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year Award and received the Entrepreneur of the Year Award from B2B Magazine. So here to talk about his passion for supporting Atlanta's local IoT, fintech, advanced manufacturing communities is Arul Morgan. Arul, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, I am excited to be here. You and I connected recently. And so I've had a kind of behind the scenes look at some exciting things that you're working on for the Alpharetta and Atlanta tech communities coming out here in 2017. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what 1111i is all about?
Yeah, sure. First, I want to wish Happy New Year to you and everybody listening to this broadcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. So giving a background about 1111i. So 1111i stands for 1111 Investments. We have three arms. The flagship is the 1111i Capital Partners, which is basically the venture capital arm of 1111 Investments. We also have 1111 Foundry. We are kickstarting that early this year. And 1111 Foundry is all about helping entrepreneurs validating their idea, building their product, and getting their first few customers. So it's going to be a very hands-on approach, helping the entrepreneurs to build their startup. And then we have 11-11 Education, which is about educating both the entrepreneurs and also the investors about venture capital investing, what's the risk involved, and what is the upside that's there. So to make sure that everybody has more education so they can make educated decisions when it comes to investments.
Let's go back just a little bit and let's talk about your experience as an entrepreneur. Talk to us about Enrich, the company that you exited earlier last year, actually. And it's not this year, it's last year.
Yeah, let me start with my background. I'm a mechanical engineer. After graduating, I spent 2 years in manufacturing. So what I seen that exciting is that I always applied technology to various business problems in the supply chain, in the core manufacturing. So I see that I created more impact there. So that made me to change my career from manufacturing into technology. So I was working as a consultant trying to implement what we call ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning, financials and supply chain system to large enterprise. And at that time, that made me to think like, you know what, why can't I do it by myself? So in 2003, I started Enrich. So it's a technology company. So it's good thing is that I started at the kind of the end of the recession that we had between 2000 and 2003. So from the time I started, I kind of enjoyed the growth that we had between 2003 and 2007. So that helped me to kind of double or triple my revenue every year. And in 2008, as I said, we are listed in Inc. as the, actually we are listed as a top five in Georgia or top five in IT services nationwide. And overall, we're listed at number 67. But what I look at the best part is that from 2008, 9, 10, we all know how bad the recessions that we had, but we continue to grow in a much better way. And we have been continuously ranked in Inc. 500 for five consecutive years. So that's why I looked at it. It's not about how we are growing the company in the good time period, how we are able to grow when the times are bad. Yeah, we may not have as much growth. It's not like we doubled or tripled, but we continue to do like more than 20% or 30% growth at a larger company level when we are in 2008.
Right.
So I think that kind of given me the confidence and saying that we need to change. So during that time period, I kind of transformed the company. And also in 2013, we went and acquired a company in UK. So that given us a footprint in Europe and also given us the domain expertise in procurement, which 1 year later made us to be the global leader in providing Oracle procurement solutions globally. And then end of 2015, early 2016, that's where I went through the transition and kind of exited Enrich. I'm still a shareholder for the company that bought us. It has been bought by Data Intensity. It's kind of a strategic buyer and it's owned by a private equity. So after coming out, so I kind of started investing myself because I always love investments. To just give the background, I've been investing in stock market back when I was in 21. From the day I came out of the college, I was fascinated about investments. And even when I'm running Enrich, one thing that differentiated me from other CEOs is my acumen towards finance. So I always kind of come out with a different financial model, how I can grow the company. And I started the company with $25,000 and I never borrowed the money. So we have grown bigger and bigger. We made more and more investments. Even when I was acquiring another company in UK, I never borrowed any money actually.
Really?
So that kind of thought process, how do I make it happen? So that's kind of focused me into investments. So then after exiting out, then I started investing and then started 11-11 Investments actually.
Right.
At the middle of 2016.
You've told me before you had intended to take a break after the exit, but quickly found yourself already onto a new venture. Talk about that, not being able to take a break. I mean, what's your passion for the venture investing, you know, industry that just kind of drew you in so quickly?
Yeah. As you already said, I think like any entrepreneur, when you do have a major exit, you want to take a break. So that's what I was thinking about it. Oh, let's take a good break. Let's transition. But once I started investing into other startups and also I started investing into other venture and private equity. So that's where I found that, you know what, this is something that really excites me, working with other entrepreneurs. And also what I find the first couple of investments that I made, I'm able to attract entrepreneurs that other VCs are not able to attract. Because I'm fresh out as an entrepreneur, entrepreneur to entrepreneur, other entrepreneurs really liked working with me. So that kind of told me like, you know what, now I can help multiple startups rather than me starting another startup. So with the vision that I can help multiple startups and also the skill set that I had. So when I started investing into other VCs, they also see a unique skill set within me. So they said, how we can collaborate together? We like your thoughts on investments. So that made me to start 1111 Investments. And not only I'm inspired with helping the entrepreneurs, but what's the market potential that we have, right? Always you look at them. So I've been investing even in companies in Bay Area or in New York. So when I looked at those VC firms versus one in Atlanta, there's a big difference. And in the last couple of years, I've been seeing more and more startups are coming up in Atlanta. So I could see that traction is building up. So what I've seen is that there is a gap that is there between Atlanta or overall in Southeast versus what we see in the Bay Area or in the New York. So that made me to feel that, you know what, I have to start and I could make it much bigger being here in Atlanta, but investing in companies across all over the U.S.
Right. And that seems to be a consensus with a lot of people that in the Atlanta tech community that you talk to, the innovation of Atlanta startups is definitely there and growing. I mean, you see, you know, different organizations to support Atlanta entrepreneurs popping up all the time, but the investment community hasn't quite caught up. So why don't you share a little bit about your thoughts on the difference between Atlanta investment community right now and what you would see in like the Bay Area or New York?
Yeah. So as I said, like when I looked into the venture funds here in Atlanta versus the venture fund in Bay Area or even in New York, the first good difference I could see is that the one in Bay Area or in New York, so they are much larger funds. So when I say larger funds, they're like in the tune of $500 million to $1 billion or more. Whereas typically the VC funds here in Atlanta are between $10 million to $50 million fund. And one of the reasons why they're able to create a larger fund, they're able to attract the institutional investors in other areas. Whereas in Atlanta, we are still not able to attract the institutional investors. But what I've seen here is that we have a lot more private investors that are there in Atlanta. There are a lot more successful entrepreneurs that are out there. When I say successful entrepreneurs, those people who build the company, who exited out, we have a lot of successful technology executives over here in Atlanta. So we have all the resources that we need. But people have been a little bit hesitating when it comes to venture investments. So that's where I came out with a kind of a unique model that I want to create that kind of bridges the mentality or the attitude that's prevailing in Atlanta and also the opportunity that's available in Atlanta and all across the U.S.
So share a little bit about that model that you are using that's, you know, supposed to draw some of these investors out and get them in the game.
Yeah, sure. So basically, the model that we created ended up coming out with what we call as a hybrid fund model. So it's kind of a hybrid between a fund of fund and the venture fund. So what we did is that we kind of architected a 50-30-20 model. So let me explain that 50-30-20 model so you would see why it's hybrid and how it kind of acting as a hybrid between a fund of fund and a venture fund. So in the 50-30-20 model, what we're doing is that the 50% of the money that we have in our venture fund will be invested into other established VC funds. And we'll be investing not only in Southeast, but we'll be also investing in funds in New York and also in San Francisco. So it kind of gives us a much spread geographically across all over the U.S. And why we pick New York or San Francisco is because they are the top two tiers. So Bay Area and then New York, then everything else comes as a next tier when it comes to venture funding. So that 50% that we are investing into venture firms allows us to build a strategic relationship with them. So where we can add value to them and they in turn can add value to us. I will explain how they're adding value in the 30% and the 20% bucket that we have. So then the remaining 50% we invest in our own venture fund. Within that, we split them into a 30% bucket and a 20% bucket, the remaining 50%. So the 30%, what we want to do is that we want to co-invest along with other VCs. And what I've seen is that while I'm investing, I've done a lot of research. And what I found out is that co-investment typically brings in better return than the fund itself. But for you to be in the co-investment, you have to invest into the fund. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean something, then why can't we do all co-investments? No, for you to do some co-investments, you have to be in the fund. So by us investing into the other funds allows us to pick some of the winners that they have invested in and co-invest along with them. So what I call co-investments, kind of winning, investing on the winners. So the 50% that we invested kind of gives a good diversification by investing into multiple funds in different sectors across different geography.
So you're taking on the same risk that they are with all of the companies in the 50%.
Yeah.
But then
but it's not only if you're investing only in one fund. What happens in the venture fund, the returns are all over the map. In the sense like you may get a 10% return or a 20% return or a 30%, or you can get even a gigantic return.
Mm-hmm.
So the standard deviations are pretty high when it comes to venture investing, because you're investing into startups. All you need is one or two startups to become a unicorn. Then the VC fund is going to be extremely successful. So by us investing into multiple funds, we are creating the diversification so that we are able to reduce the standard deviation and still bring in a better return. But in the past, I think when the fund of funds started, it created that traction. But after that, fund of fund has lost some traction, mainly because the fee that the fund of fund is charging on top of the fees that each fund is charging, people are not able to justify them. So that's one of the reasons why fund of fund is not able to do quite very well. But in our case, what I call them is a very active fund. Only 50% were investing into other funds, but we are adding value to them and they are adding value to us. So it's kind of a closed loop between 50, 30 and 20. So that able to justify the fee that we could charge for the fund of fund. Plus, we are also having our own venture fund. And the collaboration between us and the other established funds can create much better impact. So that's how it works. So let me a little bit explain on the 20%. So
right.
30%, we talked about the co-investment. 20% is something what I would consider as an alpha driver, something even more unique. So by investing 80% of the money in more what I would call as established funds with the track records, even the co-investments I would consider with the track record, because we're investing along with established funds. And also, it has been proven that co-investments has given a better return than the fund itself. So 80% would be considered well-diversified, reduced risk, a little bit more of a safer investment. So that allowed me to focus more of my time into the 20% bucket, where typically you are taking more risk by investing into the company early in the stage. So typically, when it comes to venture investing, they have different stages.
Right.
One you would call investments you would get from friends, families. Then it kind of goes to angel. Then the angel could do a seed investment, or a VC can come and do a seed investment. So what I have seen is that there's something called seed plus, meaning that before they go for a series A, that's where the bigger investment comes in, and they go to series B or series C as they need more money to scale up their operation. So in the seed investment or a seed plus, a lot of VC funds are hesitating to invest in them because it takes a lot of time. And again, in their model, they cannot put all their money into seed investments. So the idea is that in this 20% bucket, we can go and really find the right companies and invest in them. And then I looked at what's the risk involved. Why people are hesitating to invest into the early stage? Because there are two major risks that's involved. The first risk is they are not able to get further funding. That's the biggest risk, mm-hmm. I would say. The second is that they're not able to get the right kind of support or a guidance. So if we can mitigate these two risks, then we are overall reducing the risk in the 20% bucket.
So how are you planning on reducing those risks?
So the first one, as I said, the major risk is they need additional funding. So let us say that typically in the seed stage, you could give between $100,000 to $1 million. And then, so typically when you do the seed investment, you have an MVP. MVP stands for minimal viable product. And also you have a market fit. What we mean by market fit is that few customers have started using them. So there's a
validation, proven that.
So there's a market fit, your product can work. Then at the time they want to go and develop the product and then basically start getting more customers. So they are kind of at the inflection point. That's where they need a seed round. But at the same time, they don't have a track record saying that, oh, I have $1 million or $2 million of revenue before I can go for a series A. So we go and identify those companies in this seed stage who have an MVP, who have a market fit, and we invest them. And then when it comes to the next stage, so a lot of companies fail because they're not able to raise more fund for them to spend more on marketing, sales, and do the scale up. So when we do the investment, we have the partnership with other VCs. Typically what I do, I involve them also in my due diligence. So what I tell them is that even though your fund will not invest into this early stage, do you see any reason why we should not invest in them? And if they go to the next stage, would you be willing to invest in them? So typically I get their consensus as well. Then I'm going to invest in them. Moreover, on a quarterly basis, we keep updating our strategic VC partners how these companies are doing. So what happens now? So they know that they have been involved from the early stage in the due diligence. They are getting the constant updates. And then we really help those company to get few more customers. Then when they go for Series A, their success rate becomes much more higher.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're being very intentional about getting all hands on deck. And that's something interesting about tech companies sometimes, you know, it's like, I don't want anyone to know about what I'm doing. But you know, you're saying, no, we need as many people involved in this process as early on as possible to make sure that you're successful for what you're going to be looking for and needing a year and a half, 2 years down the line.
Absolutely. I think that's where my unique profile fits in. I'm an entrepreneur and I love spending time on innovation. So I think what excites me the most, if anybody asked me in my previous company, what Arul likes about, they would say innovation. And if you look at the tagline that we have for our company, stimulating innovation. So I really enjoy working with other entrepreneurs, really helping them. So once I know that they have an MVP, really helping them to build upon that. And or some of them may not have an MVP. That's where we created a foundry. So that's where we help them to create an MVP to create the first few customers. So the idea here is that my unique profile fits into how I can help entrepreneurs. And I'm not trying to be just financially focused. Of course, the way I look at it is that everything boils down to financial and what you can do beyond financial. So every entrepreneur needs money and everybody's looking to invest to grow the money. But if you can truly add value to the entrepreneurs and make them successful, then your money is going to grow automatically.
Right. Yeah. It's not just writing a check and handing it over. It's really giving them the tools and helping them. So you talked a little bit about innovation. I know some of the companies that you are working with are really taking technology and applying them to new markets. And sometimes it's not always easy to see those opportunities, but it is really exciting when you see someone that's at the forefront of doing that. Can you share in a little bit of detail, maybe one or two of the companies that you're working with, or give us an idea of how they're applying this new technology to new industries?
Yeah, definitely. So so far we have made 6 investments through 1111 investments through our fund. Let me take one example, or I could even give 2 examples actually, one in Atlanta and one outside Atlanta.
Okay, let's do it.
So let me start with one in Atlanta. I think a lot of you might have heard about a company called Software Automation. And so what they did is that they have a robotics for sieving machine. So in the past, when it comes to handling the fabrics, it's very hard to have robotics do that actually. So they kind of come out with a new way of doing them. So instead of looking at the length by inches, they looked at, let me count the threads. So by that way, I have a better control. And this technology has been invented here in Georgia Tech. And we went in and commercialized them, right? So in our case, I kind of invested in this a couple of years back as an individual. Now as a fund, we are investing more. And what I looked at is that I've been there from the beginning. I've seen how the idea kind of went into monetization. And I could see that order booking, how much they have grown in 2016. And then I was amazed with the order booking that they're going to have in 2017. So looking at these things, right? So I'm giving an example where I've invested at the beginning and seeing them grow. And as a fund, now being a little bit more reducing the risk, how we are investing in them. Right. So this would come under the advanced manufacturing area. And it's a very good example of how you're using the intellectual property and it's all about monetizing them. And then if you look at Software Automation, what made me to invest at the initial stage is that when they got the grant from Walmart for $2 million. So that kind of made me think that, okay, it's a great technology and Walmart is investing in them. And they've proven in the last 2 years through their order booking and how many robots that they can ship it out to others, actually.
Right. And for anyone who's been a listener for a while, we had KP Reddy on the show more than a year ago, but talking about SoBots and talking about that. And it has been amazing to see the evolution of that company. But a perfect example of taking that technology and then saying, you know, what industry? Textile. That's where it can, you know, really have a big effect.
Yeah. So this has a good good future I would look at, because now I think almost we crossed the stage where the early risk has been eliminated. So now it's all about they've been booking. So it's just continue executing mm-hmm. to scale. So let me talk about the second investment that I made outside Atlanta, which I'm more excited. It's something that I closed a few weeks back, and the company is based out of New York. So this company is all about bringing personalization to advertisement in the national television. So right now, everybody sees the same ad in a national TV. So let's say if Toyota wants to do the advertisement, rather than giving the same ad to everyone, depending upon who you are, whether I should give the ad about an SUV or about their electric hybrid or about their entry-level sedan.
Wow.
And even if I'm giving an electric, is this person more focused on cost or more focused on ethics, like low emission? So if this person is more about low emission, the ad would be focused on that. If they're more about cost, they would talk about how the fuel cost reduction can happen through the electric.
So how are they getting all of this data to do this targeting?
So data is just one part of it. Mm-hmm. So they're building the platform. So where they're working with the advertisement agencies, they're working with the network, they are working with the operator. When I say operator, these are like AT&T or Comcast, those kind of people. And also the data provider, who provides this data. So they're building the platform, which takes all of them and gives this personalized ad to them. And so far, nobody has done that. So they have the first mover advantage. And we invested in them. So when we invested in them, so what happens is that we as a lead VC did the investment. And then we have other good people investing in them. So what it means is that the right people with the right technology background have seen the potential that it can have, and we have invested in them.
So am I going to see a commercial that says, "Hey, Stephanie"? Is it going to be that personalized or just?
No. It's not going to be individual person.
Okay.
Address.
That would be scary.
So when you see the ad, you would not even know that. So basically, you would see that, oh, I'm seeing the ad that's more suited to me.
Right.
So you're not seeing the ad that you don't care about it. Mm-hmm. So what will happen is that you will start seeing the ad. And I think if you see that in the online, a lot of people are doing that. But
sure.
You don't see them in a national television.
Exactly.
Even in the local television, there's some kind of... So for example, people here in Atlanta would see a different ad than people who are there in Pittsburgh. So in the local TV, mm-hmm. they are seeing... Again, that's not individualized. But rather than taking the individualization to the local TV, so this company is taking to the national TV, establish their leadership, and they can always bring that back to the local TV also.
That's fascinating.
So just to give an example, so there are a few other investments that we have been making. So the idea is that make these kind of unique investments. So this allows my time to focus on identifying these kind of companies, doing the diligence and investing in them, and make the 20% as a haul for driver. So this is the one which is going to make better return. While the 80% of them we are investing, that kind of diversifies and reduces the risk.
And I love how you created that financial model to address exactly the hump that Atlanta needs to get over, you know, to really start to thrive like some of the other cities. And I know that you have some other initiatives too that you're working on to stimulate the Atlanta and Alpharetta technology communities. One most notably is an upcoming event. Talk to us about Alpharetta Startup Connect and what it's all about.
Oh, yeah, sure. So first, let me a little bit talk about Alpharetta. And then I'll talk about the Alpharetta Startup Connect.
Love talking about Alpharetta.
Yeah, exactly. So we are sitting here in Alpharetta.
Yes.
And I'm glad that the Business Radio X is here. Good. Yeah, good guys. Okay. So if you look at Alpharetta, it's the technology hub for the South. So we have 600 technology companies that are here. Some of them are very large companies that are there. So... And we have a lot of technology executives and we have a lot of technology entrepreneurs right here in Alpharetta. And what I've seen is that in the last 10 years, the focus has been more on established companies flourishing here in Alpharetta. That's how the infrastructure has grown. But for somehow, the startup community has not grown to the extent that we want here in Alpharetta. Even though we have all the resources, we have all the infrastructure, but the startup community, the vibrancy has not been established. So then when I looked at creating my venture fund, what I looked at is that it's an amazing opportunity that we have in Alpharetta. There's a gap, and I want to be based out of Alpharetta. So I think we would become a major VC having our home in Alpharetta. And then the goal is that, okay, now we need to create the community. We need to create that network here in Alpharetta. We need to make the startup community a lot more vibrant here in Alpharetta. So with that, we have started Alpharetta Startup Connect. The goal of Alpharetta Startup Connect is to connect the investors with the entrepreneurs and also with the technology executives. And typically, we didn't have the VC kind of influence here in Alpharetta. So if I can bring in the VC influence, a major VC with a major fund based out of Alpharetta and connect the entrepreneurs together and also bring in a lot of technology executives. Because what I know is that there are a lot of technology executives who either want to invest or who wants to become an entrepreneur. So it should be a motivation for them. And then whoever have already started I want them to feel that there is a common ground here where we can all come in, network, and try to grow. So I think the first one we are starting on January 17th. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the first one. And the goal is to have every month. So we will have it on the second Tuesday of every month. And we'll all group together. And the agenda is that the first 30 minutes, we'll be talking more about investments. Because what I've seen, the demand here is that every startup companies want to know about funding investment. So we would focus 30 minutes about that. And the next 15 minutes, we would spotlight one startup companies and tell them their journey. So the kind of companies that we are identifying them is that who cross the tipping point. They're very early in the stage, but kind of cross the tipping point. And again, what I consider as the tipping point is somebody who developed an MVP, who has a market fit, and basically got some seed funding. So we want them to come in and talk about their journey. Because a lot more people are struggling to see that, how do you vent and develop the MVP? Because that's a big struggle. How do we do that? Mm-hmm. And then how do you manage to get that seed funding? Then now how you're using those capital that you raised. And again, these are the startup that did not win for a Series A, right? They're still in the early stage. But this is the right motivation for other startup companies. So now they know that, yes, I can go and build a product. I can establish few customers. I can get some funding. And then I have a hope that I can get a lot more funding and I can scale this to be a bigger company. So the goal is to invite those companies and have those entrepreneurs talk about that. Influence a lot more other entrepreneurs and create that network between the entrepreneurs among themselves and also with the investors. And I think we just sent out the invitation a few days back, and I was overwhelmed with the kind of responses that we are getting back.
Fantastic.
So basically, there are many people that are registering. And the good thing is that I'm seeing other investors coming in, a lot of entrepreneurs coming in, and quite a few technology executives who are registering in them.
And well, I'm not surprised, because just like what you're doing with the fund, bringing, you know, all hands on deck as everybody get around the table, that is really needed up here in Alpharetta. I've been, you know, networking with a lot of the local technology startups, and funding is, that's the big topic on their mind. And so what better way to just, you know, tear down all of the walls between them and what they're trying to achieve, them get them in the room with investors, with those people that have, you know, that have the experience. And let's just, you know, have that conversation right there. Build those relationships too, so that, you know, maybe there's not something that you need right now, but in 6 months, you know, you already have someone, you have their number, who to call, you know, when you need that, when you have that question or need to take that next step. So yeah. I think it's fantastic.
And what I'm even more excited about is that the kind of support I'm getting from the community, and we are doing the Alpharetta Startup Connect in the Alpharetta Innovation Center. So Alpharetta Innovation Center is in ATC. ATC stands for Alpharetta Technology Commission. And we have met with multiple people involved in the ATC, from the city council. And also we have a chairman doing the ATC who comes from the corporate background. And also there are people that are just focused on economic development in Alpharetta area. So I met with all of them, and everybody likes the idea, and everybody is giving their complete support. So that's what I'm a lot more even excited about it, actually. So with the support from the Alpharetta and the community and the local business leaders and the community leaders, along with the VCs and with entrepreneurs, I'm pretty sure that my vision is that what I look at is that in the next decade, if we should create 500 new startups, 500 new emerging companies out of Alpharetta. So we have 600 established companies. And as I said, I think we have been known well or supporting the established companies, but now we have to create a lot more new startups, fund them, and make them successful.
I love it. And I will interview them all.
Okay, wonderful. All right. Okay, every week, yeah, you have
500 shows, yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, and really quick, for anyone who's, you know, heard about this event now and says, I want to sign up, I want to learn more, you can go to alpharettastartupconnect.eventbrite.com to register. The event is going to be Tuesday, January 17th at 7:30 at the Alpharetta Innovation Center. And again, the web address is alpharettastartupconnect.eventbrite.com. So check it out there. Arul.
One more thing, I think. So we are also, I kind of talked about the foundry. I didn't think we had much time to talk about that. So we are working on basically creating a foundry. So the idea there is that bringing entrepreneurs early in the stage, hands-on approach, building products and getting few customers. And then once they get the customer, the 11-11 venture fund, we are committing them. We tell them, you reach the milestone. Once you reach the milestone, you are basically committed that we will invest at least $100,000 with you. So that's a huge one. And also for any new investors, so it's a fund right now open. We are accepting new investors. And I want to give a little bit of education, because what I looked at is that why not many people are investing into venture, right? Even though everybody thinks it's great, but not many people are ready to write the check. So if you look at two things people look at, one is they want to be risk averse. Second part is that they may not be fully knowledgeable on the venture fund.
Right.
So most of their experience is that they invest in one or two companies, and whom they're investing in a company through friends or families or the company that just come across. And we know that 70% of the startups typically fail. So what people have seen is that when they're investing in an individual company, they are seeing more failure, and they're relating that back to a venture fund. But in a venture fund, you're typically investing into many, many companies. You're doing a lot more due diligence, and you're creating a portfolio of many companies. The idea is that we know that few companies would fail, or a lot more companies could fail. There are a few great successes that we could have, and the combination of them would give us a decent or a good return that an investor can look around. So that's the first one. And then in our fund, what we did, we created even more diversification by the 50-30-20 model. And we're investing 50% into multiple funds, actually. So that means that our fund would have more like 100 or more companies under our portfolio, including the investment that we have done through other funds. So that kind of creates more diversification, reduces the risk.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is also like, in the past, in the venture, you need to have millions of dollars to even get there. Any private investments, typically you don't get access until you have a lot of money. So in our fund, we made it $200,000, so to make the entry. And also the way the venture fund is working, $200,000 is the commitment that you're doing over the next 5 years. So you invest $200,000 over a five-year time period. So that means each year you are investing about $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
So investing about $40,000 per year makes it a lot more affordable to a lot of private investors. And again, the goal is that have more and more private investors come in and be part of the venture side. In the past, it's all about institutional investors coming in. So our goal is that how we can have more and more private investors coming in. And also, if more and more technology executives are coming in investing in them, I want them to play as an active investor.
Absolutely.
If they have time. Again, if they don't have time, it's all about they can know through the quarterly communication what companies we're investing, why we're investing. But if somebody wants to be active, they can add value to any of our portfolio companies. They can be an advisor, actually. And also, we are creating a unique approach. If some of them want to be an advisor, we have a model where they can get some advisory shares as well. So like 50% goes to the individuals who want to be there, and the 50% comes to the fund. So again, we are establishing some unique model that are motivating the investors to be even more active and being part of creating the success. So one thing I like that I like to advise, I like to help other entrepreneurs. So if others wants to help entrepreneurs, it can need not be one. So this venture fund, we want it to be hundreds of active investors who are ready to help other entrepreneurs. So that's how I look at it. It's a true network that we're creating and true community that we're creating, and be part of the success.
That sounds like something really exciting to be a part of.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing so much about what you're doing and letting people know that there are some big things happening in Alpharetta technology community right now. If you didn't already know, now you know. Before we leave, I know you've seen, obviously, so many pitches recently. You're keeping your finger on the pulse of what's out there right now. I would love for you to share, maybe just, you know, based on what you've seen in the last couple of months, a piece of advice for startup entrepreneurs today.
Yep. What I would say is that you as an entrepreneur, don't get distracted from funding and investments. What I would say is that you can bootstrap by yourself and build that MVP and create the market fit. That's what I would ask every entrepreneur to do. That's what I did, actually. I bootstrapped my company, but my company, I did not need further capital because the way my business is structured. But what I would advise to a lot of startups is that you come in because you are ready to take the risk and you believe in something. So go and build what you believe in. My goal is that you can build that MVP, the money that you saved, or with the money that you can get from friends and families. It's absolutely possible. So go with that. Don't get distracted with all the investment side. once you have an MVP with a market fit, the venture fund will come to you. Because every venture fund, we are looking to find the right company. So you don't have to go after them. We will come to you. So that's what is my focus, is that every entrepreneur, I would say that go and build that minimum viable product, establish the market fit. That's what should be your focus. And then, and don't get distracted. Because I've seen several messages, several people are saying that I'm spending a lot of my time in raising the fund. You as a founder, as a CEO, should not focus on building them. So that's what our focus is. When we come in and do the seed investment, we tell them, you continue to scale your company and we will take care of the funding. So when you want to next level of funding, that's why I look at, that's what is happening. If you are building a good company, there are other people who are there to help. It's not just 11-11 investment. There are many VCs. Every VCs are looking for good startups with an MVP, with a market fit, and there are tremendous amount of money that is lying around right now that are ready to invest into startups. So it's a great year for any entrepreneur to be. Just build a great product, money will come to you.
I love it. Good. Well, Arul, thank you so much for being the first guest on Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X. And a huge thank you to all of the listeners for tuning in. And I look forward to catching you here next week.
Wonderful. Thank you. And thanks to everyone who is listening to this podcast. Great.
Thank you.